Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we're lifting our hearts, where we lift our hearts and minds. And we're lifting, I guess, both, because there's two of us, to heaven, to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the tumult of this life. And we're on part two of a series on the official document that allowed for distributing Holy Communion in the hand. It's called Instruction on the Matter of Distributing Holy Communion. And if you immediately think, oh, that's post-Vatican II, I'm not listening to that, stay tuned. You're going to be shocked. Yeah. And so are most people in the ordinary form, or Novus Ordo, however you want to call it, the new mass, in quotes. You're going to be shocked too. And if you missed the first show, make sure you go back and check out the second show. So we're going to start on the second page. Now, you don't have page numbers. You can find this document out on EWTN.com and just do a search. Memoriale Domini is the Latin name, or the title, the original title in English, which is Instruction on the Manner of Distributing Holy Communion. So I wanted to go back to something we covered briefly in the first show, and just make sure we get a few more things. So it's in the paragraph that begins with however. So it says the fathers make it abundantly clear that the greatest reverence was shown the Blessed Sacrament, and that people acted with the greatest prudence. I wish I had read the Latin before we did the show. Let nobody eat the flesh without first adoring it. As a person takes the Blessed Sacrament, he is warned, receive it, be careful lest you lose any of it, for it is the body of Christ.
You lose any of it.
Right. And I just have to say, a little head nod, a little bow, a slight bow, I just being honest, does that reflect what this document says? Greatest prudence, greatest reverence. Adoring, I mean, I think of adoring as going down on two knees, lowering myself, because that's what humble means, to lower oneself in terms of the etymology of the word. And we kneel to have ourselves, if you will, in height, which is an expression of reverence.
Well, and we also hear that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Shall bend, every knee shall bow. Every head shall bow.
Yeah.
So we're even told at the name of Jesus,
right,
what to do with our bodies.
Yeah.
Would we not do that in his presence?
Yeah.
If he's truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Right. And not by the way, we are not speaking against the USCCB's document. We're not saying people can't do.
No. But it is this. If you can, you know, I think back on Cardinal Lorenzi, who spoke at one of
you remember what he said?
What at one of our Avila summits years
before
ago.
Before you say it, he was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Worship, the document that would, the Congregation for Divine Worship, that would have distributed this. He wasn't at the time this document was there, but.
Right.
He used to be ahead of that for the whole world.
Yeah. The one line that I will never forget is he said, in essence, is what he said. He says, if we truly believed, would we not crawl?
Right. He said it.
Would we not crawl to receive our Lord? Right.
Right. He truly said it with this growling.
Oh, he did.
Nigerian.
It was visceral. It was.
Wouldn't you crawl?
You know? It was amazing. And it's out there. It's out there recorded someplace. It's an amazing response, right?
Yeah, and so we had him at our event. He said that at a different event. One of the things he said at our event was somebody asked him about it, and he literally said, and it is also on recording, it has been a disaster.
Right.
That's how
receiving in the hand has been a disaster.
That's not what we're saying. That's what a cardinal has said.
Right, right, right.
And here's the other thing. We are with the U.S. bishops. We stand with the U.S. bishops in this Eucharistic revival. I mean, We had a booth at the Eucharistic Revival.
I was on that floor adoring the Lord with 50,000 of my brothers and sisters. It was amazing.
And I will be honest. I have to be honest. I was a little cynical at first, but I was wrong. I was dead wrong.
Oh, they did a beautiful job with it.
I mean, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Kudos to everybody who organized that.
Big time.
Kudos to the bishops that said yes.
Bishop Cousins hit it out
of
the park.
Amazing.
You know.
We need to get back to the document.
But I guess it's just important. We are not
against.
We are for. I just want us to be honest.
Right.
About what's happened. What's really happening day to day. You know what else I think is interesting? Is I almost wrote an article years ago called As the Bishop Turns. Because we're 100 years old, there was this soap opera when we were young called
As the World Turns.
As the World Turns. Our parents probably watched it.
Yes.
But the reason I'm saying this is we went to, I'm going to just say where and everything. We went to the cathedral in Colorado Springs. That was our normal place. We went to mass.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Sheridan was the bishop there. God rest his soul. He's passed away since.
Wonderful bishop.
Wonderful bishop. And that was the most reverent mass that they had available in Colorado Springs by a long shot.
At that time. Yeah.
At that time. And what I noticed was that when the bishop came, the rubrics were followed to a T.
Mm-hmm.
When the bishop wasn't there, it was like a different place. Now, I'm saying it was the most reverent. I'm not saying it was well done. I'm just saying it was the most reverent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little scandalized by the bishops here. Now we have to follow the rubrics.
It's like mom and dad are here. Everybody behave yourself.
Right.
Right. And then when, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I will just say this. I believe every faithful bishop, and I can list bishops who are extraordinary with the liturgy, Cordleone in San Francisco, Sample, in Oregon. I don't know. I think it's in that realm. You know, bishops who are just very faithful to the liturgy. I believe that they may be completely unaware. I'm not saying this specifically about Corleone and Sample. May be completely unaware because when they go to a parish or they go to a mass,
everybody's on their best behavior.
But as the bishop turns.
That's pretty funny.
We have scandalous undertakings.
I think you should write that article.
Well,
I like the title. We need to go back to the article.
But nobody under even our age people won't remember. But I think it's important for the bishops to know, you know, Bishop Cousins is an extraordinary bishop. And maybe they already know that there is a lot of mischief that goes on. That when they're present, people, you know,
not in particular him, you're just saying bishops in general. Yeah, because
yeah.
You attach that to Bishop Cousins.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I love Bishop Cousins.
Yeah.
No, I still want to finish that one pass. There's
okay.
A few more things to get out of this.
We're never going to get through
thus
this.
Let nobody eat the flesh without first adoring. And it feels incredibly casual to me.
Yes.
I'm just saying. As a person takes the Blessed Sacrament, he is warned. Where is he warned? I don't have I probably have the footnotes here somewhere. But in 1 Corinthians 11:27, and this is the Knox translation that I have memorized, that if you eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus in an unworthy manner, you drink damnation. I'm actually paraphrasing.
Yeah.
You drink, eat and drink damnation. So not only is it, you know, problematic in many ways, but you could end up helping yourself go to hell instead of heaven by the way that you receive the Eucharist. And I'm just saying in a state of mortal sin.
Well, yeah. And I wonder, you know, because so many of our brothers and sisters are struggling so often.
Yeah.
Loved ones, all of this, that, you know, you wonder sometimes that people who are going to Mass regularly, they go to confession on occasion, why are they not receiving all the graces available to them?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's because they are not receiving in a worthy manner. Like
right.
Their whole body, mind, spirit.
Well, I've done that. I'd had to say it.
You know, I have in the past too. I mean, I go to Mass now, and recently I've been asking the Lord, let me worship you. Let me receive you. Let me be here in this Mass with you in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Because he said there would come a day when people will worship in spirit and in truth.
Right.
I want to do that.
I do too.
Because I think as we approach the Lord in that manner, we will receive all the graces that he has for us.
And we really want to support the bishops in their desire to bring reverence. So here's the last piece on this one point. As a person takes the Blessed Sacrament, he is warned. So we've covered that warning in 1 Corinthians 11:27. Receive it. Be careful if you lose any of it, for it's the body of Christ. What does that mean? It's a reference to the fact that it's body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus.
Every particle of it.
And I want to say this, and I may have to say it after the break, but I'm going to see where we go. One time I asked, and this was in the another cathedral in another city. I won't say where. One time I asked the rector there, in this church, they allowed for both forms, like the USCCB allows. They use a communion paten, which they put under the mouth of, or the, you know, under the chin. Mouth, the chin of everyone who receives. I asked on a Sunday, have you ever received that paten to you to be cleaned, to be where, and
purified
is a better right word, where there was nothing on the paten?
And he said never.
So then I asked that question. Then that Sunday we used to sit up, well, we always sit up front wherever we go. I sat up front and just out of curiosity watched how many people who received in the hand looked at their hand after they put the Lord in their mouth.
Right.
You know how many did?
Almost nobody.
Not a one.
Yeah.
And this was like 500 people.
Well, and it comes back to people not understanding that every fragment, it's the Lord, right?
Right.
And every fragment is the Lord.
Right.
And would we not, I mean, if we think about that beautiful scene from the Passion, when Our Lady is given the towels.
She's wiping the blood of Jesus.
And she goes and she is soaking up every single drop that she can of the Lord's blood. It's no different.
Right.
It's no different. Every single fragment is the Lord.
Yeah.
And we should approach him and care for him in that manner.
I totally agree with you. And
I must say, I've been
criticized publicly quite vehemently for when I taught on this in before. You're going to make people scrupulous. That's not the way you look at the way you teach publicly. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, you can't teach most hard teachings.
You can't teach anything if you're worried about people being scrupulous. Scrupulous is not about making people feel good or feel bad or whatever. Clear teaching is clear teaching.
Right.
And if it makes someone scrupulous, that is about their pride. It's not about the teaching itself. So we need to go there.
Okay. Good. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about the truth, what the church actually teaches about communion in the hand, and we're using the church's own document that allowed it. And those who are traditionalists, listen in, you're going to be surprised. Those who are in the Novus Ordo or the New Mass or whatever you want to call it, you're going to be surprised. I'm not being derogatory about either.
Most people haven't read this document.
Everybody should read it and not dismiss it. So before the break, we were talking about every fragment is the Lord. And my producer reminded me that the Council of Trent dogmatically affirmed that every fragment is the Lord. And so one thing I want to say that's very clear about this too, because it's an important point that we ended with in the last segment. When you preach publicly or teach publicly, you should proclaim with dogmatic doctrinal clarity the fullness of the truth.
Right.
You deal privately with people who struggle with particular aspects of how to live that out, but you never compromise clarity and doctrinal truth in the public setting
for
the sake of worrying about scrupulosity of somebody, oh, I can't go forward in the church because now Jesus is all over the floor or whatever. Listen, I'm not scrupulous anymore. I get weird. There are some places I won't even receive communion because it's so cavalierly done.
Yeah. Okay. So going on to the third page.
Yeah.
Yes. Ready?
Yeah.
Further, the care and the ministry of the body and blood of Christ was specially committed to sacred ministers or to men specially designated for this purpose. Mm-hmm. When the presider has recited the prayers and all the people have uttered an acclamation, those whom we call deacons distribute to all those present the bread and wine for which thanks have been given, and they take them to those who are absent. So soon, the task of taking the Blessed Sacrament to those absent was confided to the sacred ministers alone.
And this is an early church reference.
So as the better to ensure the respect due to the sacrament and to meet the needs of the faithful. Later, with a deepening understanding of the truth of the Eucharistic mystery, of its power and of its presence of Christ in it, there came a great feeling of reverence. There came a greater feeling of reverence towards this sacrament, and a deeper humility was felt to be demanded when receiving it. Thus, the custom was established of the minister placing a particle of consecrated bread on the tongue of the communicant.
Okay, this is really critical to read this the way it's to read it. He says, and this is Paul VI approved this document. Yes, in the early church, these things were done, but later, a deeper understanding of the Eucharistic mystery, its power, and the reality of the presence of Christ, there came a greater concern, feeling of reverence toward the sacrament, and a deeper humility. And it thereby demanded that when receiving it, instead of the person taking it, they receive it from the priest,
yes,
in essence.
Yes.
So the document itself, my friends, the document says, don't get mad at me. I'm going to say a million times, we're not against the USCCB statement or the bishops. We're totally submissive to the teachings of the church and the authority of the church. The document, it says, it's a greater reverence and humility to receive it the way that it was done prior to the council. You can't get around that it actually says that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. This method of distributing Holy Communion must be retained.
So again, so what was the statement we opened with? So we're in the second, the second show on this. At the beginning, it says it preserves this document, this promulgation preserves intact the already developed tradition which has come down to us. And then he repeats it again, saying it's the most humble way, it's the most reverent way. It must be retained.
Right.
So it has not been abrogated. So anyone who says to you,
it's been done away with,
or the norm of the church is standing in the hand, that is not true.
Right.
That, my friends, is a lie. It is a distortion. It is a misrepresentation. If it's
not an ignorance,
if it's not intentional, it's an ignorance. I'm not saying the USCCB's document is not right, that the bishops have a right to do what they're doing. What I am saying is you can say in the norm, if the USCCB has a statement as an example, as it does, the norm in the US is XYZ, you can say that. It doesn't set aside or nullify or abrogate the fact that the norm in the church remains.
Mm-hmm. And should remain thus. It must be retained.
It must be.
It must be retained. And just because everyone's doing it, just because it's a cultural norm,
right,
doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
You know, so just something to consider. Okay. This method of distributing Holy Communion must be retained, taking the present situation of the church in the entire world into account, not merely because it has many centuries of tradition behind it, but especially because it expresses the faithful's reverence for the Eucharist.
So what he's doing here is reiterating again, this isn't just about tradition for tradition's sake. This is about the fact that it is properly humble and reverent.
Right. It also is a humble and reverent desire of the people to thus receive this one.
Right. Right.
That it's not just about the church saying that, but it's also a response of the people saying there was an outgrowth of devotion, of humility, of lowering oneself before the Lord, of understanding, I love him. You know, why would I not crawl?
Yeah.
As Cardinal Lorenzi said, right?
So now I wanted to say something before you read this next passage. I've heard it taught from the pulpit of an ordinary Reformed church that it is contrary to the dignity of the person to have them kneel to receive communion on a tongue.
I don't understand that.
Well, just wait till you read what we're going to read.
I know.
It's contrary to the dignity of the person, an assertion. Therefore, you should stand and receive in the hand. Read the next section. Read the next.
It's not about my dignity.
Well, but read the next. Stephanie hasn't read this document before.
So no, I live with the man who speaks about it all the time.
Yeah.
The custom does not detract in any way from the personal dignity of those who approach this great sacrament.
Okay, let's just stop. Like mic drop there. Again, we're not against what the church teaches, whatever. But if you say, oh, I believe in that this is the best way, fine. But if you're going to be honest and faithful to the church and you're going to live with what this document says and you say it's contrary to the dignity, you are disobedient. Mm-hmm. You are teaching in a manner that is disobedient and inaccurate and not in keeping with the church. Speaking to lay people, by the way, you know, I just feel like I'm going to get in trouble for this. But how can you get in trouble for just saying what the church says?
I'm not arguing with you.
No, I'm
just
not
trying
to
read
you.
The
I
next
just
sentence.
Want to get phone calls, you know?
Okay. Okay. It is part of that preparation that is needed for most fruitful reception of the body. I'm going to reread that whole sentence. Yeah. The custom does not detract in any way from the personal dignity of those who approach this great sacrament. It is part of that preparation that is needed for the most fruitful reception of the body of the Lord, which goes back to...
He emphasizes it again.
Right, but it goes back to preparation that is needed for the most fruitful reception. In other words, that preparation of kneeling before the Lord, of humbling myself, of having a properly disposed heart, of being in a state of grace, helps me to receive the most fruit possible from the reception of the Eucharist.
Because of the proper disposition. And the
right.
This isn't us arguing it, it's the document.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just reiterating.
That's good.
Okay. This reverence shows that it is not a sharing in ordinary bread and wine that is involved, but in the body and blood of our Lord, through which the people of God share the benefits of the Paschal sacrifice, renew the new covenant which God has made with man for all through the blood of Christ and in faith and hope foreshadow the end. And let me try this sentence again. Wow. Okay. Let me try it one more time.
Sure.
This reverence shows that it is not a sharing in ordinary bread and wine that is involved, but in the body and blood of the Lord, through which the people of God share the benefits of the Paschal sacrifice, renew the new covenant which God has made with man once and for all through the blood of Christ, and in faith and hope foreshadow the end and anticipate the eschatological banquet in the kingdom of the Father.
Man, you almost pulled it off. Eschatological.
Yes, that one.
Right.
So it's reaffirming
again
that we are doing all those things when we properly receive the Lord.
And it's saying over and over, the tradition stands.
It's
the best and most humble way. The tradition stands. This is the argument of the document, not. This isn't Dan and Stephanie Burke. We're just trying to be faithful to the document.
Okay, we have a minute and 20 seconds left. So what would you like to do? Would you like to do part three?
No. Well, I mean,
we could do it next week.
If you want to hear part three, you want us to keep going, tell us. We'd love to hear your comments. Please be careful that if you disagree, you know, we're giving you church document, church teaching. If you disagree, reference your magisterial source. If it's the magisterium of Fred, I know a good guy named Fred. So, but if it's the magisterium of Fred, I don't care. I'm not interested in the magisterium of Fred because it doesn't exist.
Right.
But I am interested in kind of how this is striking you. Are you surprised, whether you're a TLM person or an ordinary form person, are you surprised that this document argues so strongly for the norms in the TLM?
Yeah.
While it at the same time, of course, later in the document allows for communion in the hand. Last time I'm going to say, you guys are going to get sick of me saying it, but it's so important. I don't want anybody saying Dan Burke is against we are totally for what the bishops are doing with the Eucharistic revival. We want this to be part of helping with that, to restore reverence and belief in Jesus. And with that, we got to go.
Okay. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.